Unbelievable.
Right, no, I was with my radio voice on. And
no, you were doing great, but we hadn't started recording. We have now, though. Okay. I'm with Rob, whose second name I don't know, but I've just heard him read the introduction.
Alcock. Robert Alcock.
Robert Alcock, okay, who's just read very beautifully and very generously the introduction to his new book, which, again, I don't know a great deal about. We were just talking there about the universal wish to go off into the woods and build a cabin and live a simpler life, which seems to be so much more popular, pressing, and desirous these days. Rob Alcock, you've done that.
Well,
Can you tell us more about yourself, the book, and this? And what you were saying there is that it seems like a fantastic dream, but in many ways, it's almost like what we should be doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, the book that I'm writing at the moment, because it's a work in progress, and the part that I've read to the audience here was just the introduction, which is called Castles in the Air, because I think that we are universally, as human beings, we are builders. We've been building our own houses since we became human, also we're dreamers. And so I think that the poem that I started the reading with, which if you like I can read it now, because it's a very nice poem, it's one of my favorites as well.
Would be great is if maybe we do a separate recording of the reading.
All right, yeah. Anyway, The Lake I Live In Is Free by W.B. Yeats, which is about the dream of going off and living simply, building your own cabin, one of his most famous poems, his most famous poem, in fact, because it's about a universal dream. What I want to do with the book is to make people realize that that universal dream is not just a silly dream, a silly fantasy. It's something fundamental to us, fundamentally human, and it's something that you can actually realize that can happen. Mm. I know that the poem was inspired by another book by Thoreau Walden, in which he goes off and builds a cabin by the shore of a pond. A lot of people think that he was off in the wilderness somewhere. Actually, that's not true. He was actually only 2 miles from his parents' house, and he went home, took his laundry home, and had dinner at his mum's house. And that's not to diminish his experience.
No.
It's, in fact, to make it more accessible and more human, because you don't need to be off in the wilderness somewhere in order to live a simple life and be in contact with nature. Mm. It's more of an attitude of how you live.
Would you say that we're moving into a third way now, a transcendent way of how there was the urge to live independently, self-sufficiently, and there is the way most people not have to live, but tend to live now, which is anonymously in a vast metropolis? Is the third way perhaps to be somewhere in between, where we're looking at interdependence, smaller scale, human scale, in the way that you just described?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that people have the idea of going off and buying themselves a small holding and living independently. I know a lot of people who have done that, either independently as a family or as a small, you know, very small group. And it's actually very difficult to do that. It's really impossible to be self-sufficient 100%. And it's really very difficult to even achieve a moderate proportion of your own needs independently as an individual. But as a community with a critical mass, with the sufficient number of people, it's actually a hell of a lot easier. The thing is that you can't do that unless you can work out how to get on with those people. And that, in a way, is almost the most difficult part of it, is that we're not accustomed to being autonomous and to being able to make decisions together as groups.
Maybe that's a development for us as human beings as well, is that we're finding new ways of communicating and working together. What I didn't say is that you've actually done this. You've gone and built your own place. And yeah. you are modelling, you know, you're not just pontificating, are you? The book is about your experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, the book is principally about the experience of building my own house. Well, two houses, actually. We built a small cabin first, where I was living with my wife and two daughters for about 4 years, while we built the main house, which is a two-story hybrid cob and straw bale house. And all this is happening in a small village near the north coast of Spain, in between Bilbao and Santander. So we have really done this, and it took us a long time. And
you're
a lot
living
of work.
The dream, as the expression
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, that's right. it took us a long time, and it took us a lot of work. And one of the one of the reasons I want to write the book is because I want to help people to do it easier, and to not make the same mistakes that we made, but make their own.
Hmm. Because you speak from both joyful and bitter experience, don't you?
Absolutely.
This is a very short interview, and you know how people love their lists, their top tens, top threes. I mean, have you got anything like that in terms of like the biggest three things to bear in mind, or the three things that you've learned? There must be the really big messages about what you've done in your experience. One was to build to the right size, which is very interesting.
Well,
what you're saying.
Well, yes. I mean, it's important to build in the right way, and perhaps more than building, it's important to if everything you do should reflect context, the context that you're in, and that includes the place, includes the environment, and includes your own capacities as well. If I started building my own house today with the experience that I'd got, I would do it in a certain way, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend that to somebody who was starting from scratch unless they had somebody accompanying them who was an experienced self-builder, which is really what we need is experienced self-builders who can hold your hand in order to help you, because it's very, very difficult to learn the sort of thing by scratch, from scratch. And that's one of the things I want to do with the book, is kind of virtually, you know, hold your hand through this process and say, you know, that's a bad mistake and this is a better way to do it. But building the right size is one of the key things. And a lot of people now start, and it's a very good idea to start with a very small project. There's this tiny house movement in which people are, making themselves a tiny little place to live. And that's great, because that enables you to get away from paying rent or paying a mortgage and have a simple life. It gives you the experience of building. And then from there, you can start, if you want to build something bigger, and you don't necessarily have to. And that's the way that we did it. We'd built ourselves a cabin first, and we were living there.
Superb. Before I forget this, could you give your website address and spell it as well?
So the website is abrazohouse.org. So it's A-B-R-A-Z-O-H-O-U-S-E.
H-O-U-S-E.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. And this as well, what's what I really like about it, and incidentally, I'm going to try this myself next year. This is going to be the next step in my life adventures, to do exactly what you've done. But this is tied up.
Not exactly, I hope.
No, well, I'm going to learn from your mistakes, maybe.
Exactly.
Is how it's tied up in human transformation, politics, being a true radical now, how we live, how we impact the earth, how it is that we're using up the resources of five earths, and we've only got the one. We haven't discovered four others yet, have we, to do this big human experiment on. It's really timely, isn't it, what you're doing? It's really transformational. It ticks every box, like, is on every level. It's material, physical, and it's a spiritual thing. I don't know whether how comfortable you are with that.
Absolutely. Well, when we started the process, we organized this workshop with a cob instructor who came over from Oregon, actually, where the kind of cob revival got started. And he used to have this catchphrase, which is, "I believe in cob," with a, you know, deep South accent. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's sort of a good answer to the kind of religious
point
of, yeah. But I like to say cob moves in mysterious waves.
Very good. All right. So, and it's all about the cob for you, isn't it? I can see this is going to turn into...
It's not just about the cob. Cob is a material. Cob is one material, and there are many different ways. The thing is about doing it with your own hands, building your dreams with your own hands. That's what it's all about.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you very much, Rob. I'm sure this conversation will continue in other forms and elsewhere. Thank you so much
Thank you,
for
Carl.
Talking to us. Bye for now.